It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, Phoenix, Arizona. Hey! Here in the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. We're going to talk about Bahrain today. Hussein Abdullah he's from Bahrain. Now, he's also Director of Americans for Democracy and Human Rights in Bahrain. Now, let's go ahead and dissect that. Americans, okay, for democracy and human rights. And we got to define each one of these words before we even go any further than that. Hussein, go ahead and help me out with that. When you say democracy and human rights, define that for us, would you please?
Democracy, basically, or our organization is calling for democracy in Bahrain and human rights, which means we need a government that's controlled by the majority and respect the rule of the minority. And human rights, that's basically what we mean by democracy. And human rights is to stop torture and stop imprisonment of political descendants in Bahrain.
Okay, so now this is one thing that we're very sensitive to on this show, because Declare Your Independence, we're big Declaration of Independence guys, that when you get to the advocacy in the Middle East for democracy, we understand from our definition here in America is that, you know, that can be misconstrued as just kind of a mob rule. Is that might as well just be a socialism if you have the masses voting for what they want from whoever they can get it from. So the republic part of our democratic constitutional republic here in the United States is, like you were saying, you know, the protection of individual rights, even minority rights. Now, so the thing is that, you know, we need to understand exactly what it is that we're advocating for, and Americans for democracy and individual human rights in Bahrain, we need to understand what it is that we're advocating for. Now, if we get to what it is that you want in Bahrain, how would you define it? How would it work?
Well, I would define it as a country that is elected representative in a fair and free elections. At the same time has the protection for minority, for religious minority, exactly the freedom that we have here. Now, understand very well, the Middle East has changed tremendously. Now, let's focus on Bahrain, because I'm talking about Bahrain. I'm not talking about the region. Bahrain has a very high population of educated people. The situation right now in the country, or the peaceful protest or the civil disobedience, the leaders of those movements are youth. Youth under 30 years old, college educated or graduate student, and they know very well what democracy means. They know very well what liberal democracy means. Mean the majority rule, yes, but they cannot be tyrannical toward the minority. Minority should have rights, should be protected. At the same time, we advocate for human rights. There is no human rights in Bahrain or religious freedom in Bahrain. We need the prisons to be empty. We need those who tortured political prisoners to be put on trial. We need the United States to stop selling arms and weapons to a country that open fire and kill peaceful protesters.
Okay, now why would we do that? Let's go ahead and look at, I mean, I'm not saying that we don't. I'm sure we do, but let's go ahead and look at why. Now, let's go ahead and get a little snapshot of Bahrain. Now, Bahrain, if you look on, a lot of Americans, they don't know where the heck is Bahrain. Now, it's very small. It's less than a
800,000 people. I mean, you know, in the entire country. Now, the country sits in, it's an island off the coast of Saudi Arabia and Qatar is its own island kind of isthmus country out there in the Persian Gulf. And Bahrain is even smaller. Now, the dimensions of Bahrain, let's see if we can get kind of zoom in here and get kind of how long it is. It's only, let's see, maybe 8 miles wide and 20, 30 miles long. Am I fairly accurate?
It's 3.5 times of Washington, D.C.
So 3.5 times the size of Washington, D.C. is the entire country of Bahrain. Now, it is ruled. Let's go ahead and get some, you know, stats on the population. Let's see. 738,000 people. We have, and the age structure is 26% is 14 years of age and younger. Wow. Only 4% are over 65 years old. So 70%, the majority is from 15 to 64. But when you got 26% of the people is 14 years of age or younger, guess what? You're going to have a bunch of youth controlling the destiny of this country as years go by. The median age is higher than Egypt. Egypt is 24 years of age is their median age. In Bahrain, it's 30 years old, and they got a slow growth rate. So it's we're looking at a country that I would imagine is seen as prosperous in the region.
Yes, and you forgot one important thing. It's also the base of the U.S. 5th Fleet. Our U.S. 5th Fleet is stationed in Bahrain.
Because it's sitting out there in the water. It is, you know, it's, you know, 5+ miles, the closest piece of land. I mean, it's a perfect, it's got a nice bay and everything. I can see, you know, we have the 5th Fleet there. We have the oil flowing through the Persian Gulf. We have families that have been, you know, a family that's been in control of Bahrain since, oh, heck, over 100-something years, the same family, isn't it?
250 years.
Wow. So
250 years, yes.
So guess what? They're our friends, right? The United States.
The
United States government. Yeah, they're our bestest friends.
That's true.
Okay, now, what is the contention? Now, it's isolated. It's not, you know, on the mainland of Arabia. It has a big military United States naval base there, and the people are not happy. What are they not happy about?
They're not happy. They have nothing to do with the United States. They're not happy with the government. In Bahrain, you have the same family ruling Bahrain for 250 years. We've seen Egypt, one guy ruling the country for 30 years. Guess what? In this country, one family ruling the country for 250 years. Don't you think that's enough? In a country that you have higher number of educated people, they see how Western democracies or people in the West live. They've learned what democracy means, the value of liberty, human rights, religious freedom. So I think it's time for them to change. They've seen the change in Tunisia. They've seen the change in Egypt. So they thought, why can't we have the same change? So they took it upon themselves and basically protested peacefully for the removal of the regime.
Because the regime is responsible for what?
Is brutal. Is responsible for poverty in the country. The country is rich, but the wealth is only in the hand of the few. The majority of the people live on poverty line or under poverty line. You have religious discrimination. The citizen cannot be in the police force or the army. The police force and the army are mercenaries from outside the country. There is no place for political dissent. There is no place for representative government. There is no free or fair elections. I mean, all these things play a major factor for the people to ask for the removal of the regime.
Okay. Well, we'll get back to when we come back here on Declare Your Independence. We're going into break here in just a little bit. When we come back, we're going to go ahead and start talking about how it is that Bahrain was inspired to even dissent. Well, we're hearing from them saying that they're not allowed to. Now, how are they cracking down on them? And what role is the State Department and the United States government playing in this? We need to find out because it's The Fifth Fleet is there. Do you think we're just going to let that be in jeopardy? Probably not. We'll talk about it in a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like they ain't got no mamas. I think the whole world's addicted to the drama. Only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism. But we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA. The Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all,
people
y'all.
People killing, people dying, children hurt, and you hear them crying. You practice what you preach, and would you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us, send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning, where is the love?
Where is the love? Yeah, where's the love? It's right here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, and Hussein Abdullah. He's wanting to know where's love, man. You know, and he's advocating that America, you know, get involved in the little itty bitty teeny weeny country of Bahrain. Now, we hear about Bahrain all the time, but we don't really know where it is. It's in the Persian Gulf. It is a small island the size of three times the size of Washington, D.C. I mean, we're talking itty-bitty. There's like less than 800,000 people that live there. They have no agriculture. The only real thing they do, they probably make a bunch of money off of the Fifth Fleet of the United States Navy being there. And they do petroleum processing. So here you have all these oil wealth rich countries. Well, they got to process their oil somewhere, you know, so they go to Bahrain and they had the protection of the Fifth Fleet. But we have a controversy between the people of the Middle East and almost every one of the governments. And I want to ask Hussein, help me out with what is the common theme? Is it that these dictators are abusive together or as individuals? Is it because the U.S. has been propping them up for so long, they feel secure that they can just abuse people forever? Or is it part of the culture? I mean, help me out here. Why is the entire Middle East in an uproar?
Well, it has nothing to do with the culture. The culture is not an abusive culture. It is that these rulers, different rulers, been there for a long time, have, of course, a strong relationship with us here in the United States. We call them our ally. We call Bahrain our non-NATO ally. And the people, I think, is fed up. Eventually, you have all the elements. If we make and call the revolution a dish, guess what? We have all the ingredients in the Middle East. And finally, someone put a fire to this ingredient, and a revolution is being cooked there.
Well, why? I mean, there's a lot of suspicion that there may be elements of Western cultures or CIA or Mossad or MI6 or somebody is in there kind of manipulating this a little bit to always come out to whatever we want as opposed to the people in these countries. Because for hundreds of years, there's been Western influence in who controls or the figurehead of control in these countries. I mean, you know, do you suspect or anticipate or fear that that may be happening again?
No, that's nonsense. I mean, Mubarak is a strong ally. Why would we remove him? Why? There's no reason for us to remove him. As a matter of fact, the State Department did everything possible in the beginning to keep that guy there. But the people were so strong that they didn't want him.
Well, so they're just going to...
These are genuine movement toward freedom. And
I'm not arguing that. But I am warning that if the Western powers could insert control or want to be in charge of who ultimately takes the helm again, they will. And to think that they're not going to try is to be naive. So I'm wondering.
That's true. That's true. I mean, of course, the West has all the power, all the influence, all the technology. The thing is, it's a game between the genuine movement, and I guess powers that don't want to see maybe free and fair society. I guess as simple as that. However, I think with the days or the time we live now, it's just difficult to do undercover anymore. I mean, it's easy and simple to do it maybe 30, 40, 50 years ago when the prime minister of Iran, Mossadegh, was toppled by us or overthrown by us. But now I think it's much more difficult, much more complex, because these values are clear. They know what democracy is. So when we put a regime over there, that regime better be friendly and democratic. Then probably maybe it's a win-win situation. If the regime is friendly and democratic, I think the people will be okay with that.
Well, do you think the interest in the West want local control? I mean, that they have democracy or some kind of representative government that respects the rights of individuals? I mean, if that was our intent, if that was our overriding desire, if that's what the United States really wanted, you'd think after 3, 4, 5, 6 decades that it might be up on the we care list, and we don't. So I'm just wondering, you know, how it is that you would see the United States government as an ally in an attempt to give power back to the people.
Well, the United States government is not one single person. You have the Congress, you have the State Department, you have the White House, you have civil society group. So when we, as Bahraini Americans, when we go meet with different members of Congress, we're looking for allies. There are good people. For example, Senator John Kerry issued a statement, a very strong statement on Bahrain. Patrick Leahy did the same thing. Jeff Sessions did the same thing. Some other member of Congress issued a statement on Bahrain, encouraged the White House and the State Department to do so. And the State Department and the White House did condemn the violence in the country. Now, when it comes to whether Western power won democracy in the Middle East or not, I think this is it's out of their control. Any longer. What I think they're going to work on now is to have a democratic regime that is friendly to us, like the one in Turkey. Turkey has a perfect democracy. I mean, not perfect, but Turkey has a reasonable democracy that is very close to the West. However, the regime is friendly to us. We have a great relationship with. So maybe the plan now or the game is to have regimes similar to the one in Turkey where people can express their feelings and their political beliefs without the jeopardy or without being scared that they might be arrested or tortured. At the same time, such regimes are not hostile to us, because the assumption is democracies don't go to wars.
You know, I understand, and I'm glad you're finding some allies. It's just it seems like it's a little bitty teeny bit. A little bit too late. I mean, we're talking decades of having these autocratic, dictatorial, tyrannical rulers, and all of a sudden, you know, the people are demanding their rights and they want to get it back, and then to look to the United States with the Fifth Fleet there saying that they're going to allow you to rule yourself when they already got deals done. Yeah, what if the people vote out the Fifth Fleet? We say, you know what? We don't want, you know, the Navy to be here anymore. You think they'll just go okay and leave?
No, just Bahrain itself, the opposition there through the years of struggle, never. Are you there?
Yeah, I am. You know, can you stay one more segment? Because I'd really like to give you an opportunity to finish your thoughts.
Okay, sure.
Okay, we'll go ahead and hold you over for a little bit. Hussein Abdullah in Bahrain, you know, going to give us a what for, because we need to understand this. We'll get to what's happening on the street when we come back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied, I don't need you. I've got to break free. God knows.
Yeah. And everybody else wants to know we want to break free here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Special guest, Hussein Abdullah. We got a lot of wind noise back there. He's got somewhere where we take that away because he's running between congressional offices. He's going, I need help, man. You know, we want something. And you look at Bahrain, and we just look at some of the pictures here on the YouTube, and you'll see that we have a beautiful city. Now, when the economy started to hit and real estate started to dump and all of a sudden, you know, they don't have any infrastructure other than finance or petroleum refining and naval bases and so on, you know, it had an effect. Now, I'm wondering on who, you know, on whom the people are. The average per capita income is fairly high, but that's only for a select few. How is it that you have so many young people that are on Bahrain that are so poor? How did that happen?
Because you have a systematic policy of the government of Bahrain, the Al Khalifa ruling regime, to make sure that the struggle in the country is not political, but it's economical. So instead of people thinking about their ride, they'll think about how to feed their family. That's why you have so much poverty, because you have systematic discrimination policy and corruption. That the wealth is only in the few of the wealth is only in the hands of the few. That's why you have high poverty in the country and corruption.
Well, how did Bahrain get populated? You know, a lot of these people. I mean, we're talking a small island country. You know, they needed workers, or were they born there? Did they immigrate? Were they allowed to come? It would seem with one bridge, you know, and I guess the ocean, it would be easy to control the people coming in, right?
Well, the Bahrain is a thousand-year-old country. It's not happened today or yesterday. We are 200-year-old country. Bahrain is thousands. It has civilizations there. Now, why so many people? Because the government brought so many mercenaries to control the original population. You see, when they came 250 years ago, they didn't come alone. They came with their slaves, with their supporters, the Al Khalifa regime that controlled Bahrain. That's how the population got swollen or big. Plus, you know, throughout the years, You bring so many people, they're going to have families, they're going to have children, and then all of a sudden you have a country that is just jammed with people.
So the people in the streets that are resisting, they're made up of what? They're hungry, poor, rich, educated?
Every sector of the society, because now the demand is not economic. The demands are political demands. The demands are demands to have a representative government, to have open society, to have civil society. They are the poor, they are the rich, they are the student, they are the teacher, the professor, the doctor, some of the security people. You have every sector of the society is calling and demanding for the removal of the regime.
Why are you in Washington, though? I mean, why are you seeking some kind of help from the United States? I would think that they would be the biggest impediment.
No, well, I mean, as a Bahraini American, the United States government is my government, and I'm seeking some reasonable voices that we should pressure the government of Bahrain to stop attacking the peaceful protesters.
Well, tell us about that.
I'm not asking them to topple the regime. No, I'm asking them, because we sell Bahrain weapons, we give Bahrain aid, we give Bahrain rent for the Fifth Fleet. I'm asking them to stop selling them weapons, to stop put political pressure so they will stop killing innocent people who are protesting peacefully.
Well, tell us about that. How are the people being treated? What's going on?
Well, I mean, thank God, in almost, say, 5 days, we did not have any clashes between the protesters and the security forces or the army. But before that, over 500 people were injured, 7 lost their life. Now, 7 for a small country like that is a lot. President Obama and the State Department intervened immediately, issued strong statements. The president called the King of Bahrain and I'm sure talked to him for 40 minutes, and I'm sure that conversation was not in the liking of the King of Bahrain. And one of the things that were raised, that the United States is not going to tolerate attack against peaceful protesters.
Well, they have been tolerating it all over the world. I mean, what do you mean not tolerate it? They're going to, you know, shake their fist and stomp their feet?
If we have 51 states, Bahrain will be the 51st state. Okay, that's how that country is important to us and close to us. The whole existence of that regime is because of our support. And our, I mean, the government support. So we can tell the king of Bahrain to sit, he'll sit down. We'll tell him to stand and jump. He is like the monkey to us.
Well, see, that's kind of my point. You know, I mean, that's exactly my point. Because, you know, it's so strategic to, you know, United States interest, whatever the heck that is it's going to be up to us to determine what happens in that country. And I'm going, if we cannot operate there, if we cannot have our fleets there, go unmolested, we can do operations, if that can't happen, then we're going to make sure it does happen in whatever form that we're going to want to have control. And I tell you, the one thing that centrally planned governments like the United States has become, they don't like throwing it up to the winds and we'll just see what the people want. They already want to tell the people what they want. So if you're coming to the United States government to give you your freedom, you ain't getting it.
Well, no one gives you freedom.
That's my point.
If you think so, no one gives you freedom. But what we do, we advocate for freedom. There is reason for advocacy. You build allies. There are reasonable people you can talk to. At least you can stop the bloodshed in the street. At least you can political prisoners. You, through advocacy, you create an ingredient for peaceful revolutions, for social justice movement. Where you from? I'm originally from Bahrain. And for me to advocate for my people is the biggest thing I can do. I don't believe the United States will give us the freedom, or will give the people of Bahrain the freedom. If they don't take it themselves, then they don't deserve the freedom.
Amen.
And right now they are taking it themselves. They are taking the bullets on their chest. They are getting hurt. They are getting tortured. All this tell me that they really want freedom. And all what I'm trying to do here is to stop the sale of weapons, to apply political pressure on the government of Bahrain, regardless what kind of preconceived notion or plans someone might have.
Stop the killing. All right. You know, I mean, that's a noble cause. I mean, you want to at least have, you know, an opportunity for peaceful discourse. But I'm getting the impression that the government, the regime, whatever you want to call it, the military junta, you know, whoever, who is it that's in control of Bahrain, do you think? I mean, from the people on the street there, and they look at Bahrain's government, they see an individual, they see a bureaucracy, they see United States military. Who do they see?
They see a family called the Al Khalifa ruling family that's been ruling Bahrain with an iron fist for 250 years.
And you think they're going to give it up voluntarily, or they can be, they got enough money, they can go party somewhere else, or
exactly. Yeah, they've stole enough money that they don't care about the country if their life becomes difficult there. So eventually, if there is enough pressure and if there is enough non-violent movement, protest, civil disobedience, if they paralyze the country economically, believe me, they'll take the private jets and get the heck out of there.
Well, you know, I'm beware, because, you know, every 30, 40 years, they just change all of the leadership, put a new fresh face on it, and whitewash that fence and say, you're free, and maybe you're not. But I'm glad you're there advocating for peace. Thank you. Thank you, Hussein Abdullah, Director of Americans for Democracy and Human Rights in Bahrain.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Come, you masters of war. You that build the big guns. You that build the death planes. You that build all the bombs. You that hide behind walls. You that hide behind disks. I just don't want you to know I can see through your masks. You that never done nothing.
Yeah, we can see through your masks. You know, the masters of war, they're ponying up again. And it's going to be in the Middle East. And to think that we don't have our focus on what happens next. I mean, think about it. Bahrain off the east coast of Saudi Arabia there, you have Qatar. Qatar is probably, I don't know, at least five times the size of Bahrain, but it's still a small island country, you know. And then you have Bahrain, that's very small. You know, it's Hussein said it was the three times the size of Washington, D.C., which is not that big. It's like, what's Washington, D.C., 10 miles square or something? So I'm going, you know, what is it that they have that we want? They don't have any oil production there or anything. They do refining. And it's good to have the Fifth Fleet there in Bahrain. So you would imagine that that's a very important port. Well, you know, what is our interest? Keep that port open. Keep it safe. Keep it secure. Keep it something. And I'm sure there's a lot of finance going on and so on. But it's to think that out of a less than a million people in the entire country, 800,000 about, that somehow the United States is going to allow them to do whatever the heck they want, like kick out the fleet? Heck no. It is naive to think that Bahrain might as well just be another state. And he even said that. Hey, it should be a 51st state. You know, that's that important. All right. Well, what we're doing is, you know, we finally got Cato sent us our book. Now, when you do in Arabic, it turns this way. You know, it goes in reverse because they read right to left. And here in the first part, you have the Declaration of Independence. Last part, you have the Bill of Rights. And then in the middle, it's a bologna sandwich. You know, you got the Constitution. So do we cut it? You know, I mean, what do I do? Do I cut it at an angle like this? Let them know that, hey, man, I'm not advocating this. Or do we put a little sticker on it? Maybe we'll just put a sticker. You know, void where prohibited by law or on the Bill of Rights. And then on the U.S. Constitution, we'll say, you know, hey, man, it didn't work for us. Maybe you can come up with something better. I mean, just a little sticker, a little mailing sticker. We'll put it because I am not going to be sending them a Constitution as if this works. It hasn't worked. Too much power. Central authority. And a lot of it is just, you know, people knowing, you know, what they want. And we got hundreds of these, man. We're getting ready to ship it. We talked about yesterday or day before, we got our Arabic version of the philosophy of liberty right here. Woohoo! You know, and so Nick tried to write it, you know, from what he got off the internet. Now, what I did is today I have done a piece for mybillofrights.org. I'm just going to play it real quick. They wanted me to do the preamble, and this will explain kind of what's going on. Let's go ahead and play it, and I'm sure it'll be self-explanatory. Hi, my name is Ernest Hancock. I'm a talk show host for Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, broadcast on the LRN.FM network. Now, I'm also the publisher of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, where we uncover the secrets and expose the lies. Well, one of the secrets about our Bill of Rights, a lot of people don't know, is that it has a preamble, and it explains why they created a Bill of Rights so quickly after the creation of the United States Constitution. It was a deal. It was a deal made with the Anti-Federalists, those that fought in the Revolutionary War, some of the prominent founding fathers that said, no, we're not comfortable with this creation of a central authority that would evolve, in their estimation, as a supreme power over the states, when in fact the Constitution, the federal government, was a creation of the states, state sovereignty. Well, they wanted to have it specified that the purpose of government, as defined in the Declaration of Independence, that we sparked the revolution that we won. And they're going, look, what was the primary directive for government? That it protect individual rights. If it didn't, it was time to alter or abolish. Well, they could see that it was going to need to be abolished before it even got started. So what they did is they said, look, if you're going to have a central authority that's going to have the ability of eminent domain to take people's property, the power to tax, the power to regulate commerce, where in there are the limits of those powers? Where does it say what government can't do? Well, here comes the Bill of Rights. It was an agreement with the anti-federalists of the day that predicted dire things for this country if there was not the understanding that the purpose of government was the defense of individual rights, and they wanted it specified. 12 amendments were submitted to the states for ratification. Immediately as part of and right after the United States Constitution was created. So what they did is they sent 12. The two that were not ratified were the ability of congressmen to give themselves pay raises while they're in office, and that eventually became the 27th Amendment to the Constitution. The other one was the representation increase in size of Congress depending on the population of the United States. They didn't do that, and I guess they foresaw that we'd have such a large population that there'd be too many congressmen. Okay, well, yeah, it's to be debated whether we should do that or not. But the 10 amendments that were ratified were the protection of individual rights to think, to worship, to speak, to share, and the Second Amendment to protect the First Amendment in case the Bill of Rights didn't do a good job. Now, there are many other individual rights protections in there. Due process under law, not cruel and unusual punishment. How and under what circumstances can they take my property? Well, that's a controversial one. But I'm here to read the preamble so that you understand that they understood what they were doing and why. How the Bill of Rights is holding up now under federal pressure to take all power away from the individual is a whole nother debate. And I'm glad to see that mybillofrights.org is doing what it can to emphasize the Bill of Rights. Nowhere in the country, up until the mybillofrights.org started their campaign, was there a monument to the Bill of Rights. Amazing. Well, I'm glad they're making this effort. I'm going to read to you the preamble to the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights. The first 10 amendments to the Constitution is ratified by the states. Two. The Bill of Rights. The first 10 amendments to the Constitution is ratified by the states. December 15th, 1791. Preamble. Congress of the United States begun and held at the city of New York on Wednesday, the 4th of March, 1789. The conventions of a number of the states having at the time of their adopting the Constitution expressed a desire, in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added, and as extending the ground of public confidence in the government will best ensure the beneficent ends of its institution. Resolved by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled, two-thirds of both houses concurring that the following articles be proposed to the legislatures of the several states as amendments to the Constitution of the United States, all or any of which articles, when ratified by three-fourths of the said legislatures, to be valid to all intents and purposes as part of the said Constitution. Articles, in addition to an amendment of the Constitution of the United States of America proposed by Congress and ratified by the legislatures of the several states pursuant to the fifth article of the original Constitution. There was a provision in the U.S. Constitution for it being amended. And they did it because they needed to. There were many people that understood on the horizon, if you give central power the ability to rule you and you don't specify what they can't do, they'll do it. The Bill of Rights has served us a long time, but it's in jeopardy. It's not being followed, being ignored. The reset is the Declaration of Independence. When governments no longer serve the rights, defend the rights of the individual, it's time to alter or abolish. Has that time come? Discussion continues. The American experiment, not quite done yet. We got more to go. Yeah, more to go. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, with John Green talking about Ron Paul being here this weekend. Yo, you want to hear all about that and what's behind the scenes.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readersoffreedomsphoenix.com get every day. Readersoffreedomsphoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured. Toured.